Well, good morning, everyone. You all are the brave. You've come out here and faced the weather, and you all are looking great. You really, really are. It is so good to see each and every one of you all this morning. I was telling the first service, my gosh, I had cabin fever so bad last Sunday and Monday. It's like, I got to get out of here. I just have to. So when they got the parking lot and the sidewalk cleared here at church this week, I was like, I'm going in. So anyway, it's so good. So good to see you all. Peace of Christ be with each and every one of you. Wanted to just let you know two little things really quickly. One is because of the weather last week, Parker and I moved the first session of the What Methodist Believe class to this coming Wednesday. And the information is there in the bulletin about that. If you've ever wondered, you know, what do Methodists believe? What are our roots? What's our theology about? It's a great way to kind of get a beginning idea about what Methodists and Wesleyans believe, what our doctrine's all about. And the other thing is we postponed the Sunday evening worship service that was supposed to be last Sunday evening as well. We postponed that to the fourth Sunday this month in February. And hopefully by then, the weather will have moved on a little bit. But in any case, I want to invite you to stand and greet one another and share the peace of Christ with each other. Joyfully, let's join together in prayer. Almighty God, pour out your Spirit upon us this morning. And Lord, also with those who are joining us online and we're not able to drive in this morning, we recognize that whether or not we're at home or here in this sanctuary, we are bound together in you and with one another as the family of God. And so, Jesus, as we come to worship you this morning, Lord, we just pray that you will enrich our worship with your Spirit, that you will empower us to love more like you and to learn more about who you are and who we are. This we pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I invite you to stand as you are able for our call to worship. Christ is our light, our way in the dark.
Come to the light of Christ.
Christ calls us here to worship and to pray.
Come and answer Christ's call.
Christ leads us forth to teach and to heal.
Come and worship our God.
I delight in seeing you and in hearing you sing. And if I delight in that, imagine how much more God right this minute is delighting in each of you. Let us continue to worship through the Psalter lesson. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold.
One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after.
That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in the Lord's temple.
The Lord will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble, will conceal me under the cover of his tent, and will set me high upon a rock.
And now my head shall be lifted up.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me.
Come, my heart says, seek the Lord's face. Your face, O Lord, I seek.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, for you have been my help.
Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation.
Be seated, and as you are seated, our children are invited to come forward for a message with Miss Hannah.
Good morning. I'm so glad that you dug your way out of your driveways to come to church this morning. And I'm so happy to see you. Have any of you, I know it's hard to believe because right now a lot of the lakes and ponds are kind of frozen over, but have any of you ever been fishing? Do you like to fish? What do you use when you go fishing?
Fishing rod.
Fishing rod, yeah. What did I bring today?
A net.
I know, this net's a little bit dirty. This is one that we use at home in our creek, and we use it to catch little fish and things like that. And I also brought these little play fish. I'm going to hand each of you one, and I want you to just hang on to it. Actually, can you pass them out for me?
Mm-hmm.
Just hold on to them for now. All right. Today we're talking about a story about fish. Do you have enough? Here you go. Make sure everybody gets one. We're going to hear about a time in the Bible where Jesus met some fishermen named Peter, Andrew, James, and John. You can't keep them. I'm sorry. I do have to have them back. He met some fishermen and he was asking them to do something really important. So I want you to pretend that the fish that you're holding, hold them up. I want you to pretend. Here you go. You guys want one? Can you hand that back, Lena? Pretend that the fish that you're holding represent people that don't know about Jesus yet. Okay, remember this story in the Bible is when Jesus was alive. And so some people knew who he was. Some people did not understand who he was. They didn't know that he was the Son of God. So Peter and Andrew and James and John, they were fishermen. Wiggle your fish. Okay, they were fishermen and they got paid. Like they went out on boats every day, scooped up their nets, caught some fish, brought them back, sold them to people so everybody could eat and so that they could provide for their family. Well, Jesus came upon these fishermen. And in the book of Matthew, what are the gospel books? The stories of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Excellent. We've been working on that. Okay, so those are the gospel books. And in the book of Matthew, Jesus finds these fishermen and he says to them, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of people. Think about that for a second. Does that mean that if they took their nets out and they scooped them in the middle of the lake that they would catch people?
No.
No. Jesus was using fishing as an example. He was saying, what was he trying to say? Was he saying that they would scoop up people?
No.
No, what was he saying? He was saying that if they followed him, he said, come and follow me, that he would teach them all about God and that they could share God's love with other people. So I want you to drop your fish into my net here. Can you drop it in? Drop all our people fish in here. People fish. Here we go. Yep, drop them in. When Jesus invited his disciples to do this, do you think they took a while to think about it?
No.
They're like, well, I don't know. Yeah. I was going to make one more run for fish. They just say to them.
They just went.
They just went. They immediately followed Jesus. Can you imagine the kind of trust you have to have in somebody? What if you were in the middle of your school day and somebody came and said, come and follow me? Would you just be like, sure, I'll just pick up from my work and I'll follow you? These guys really trusted Jesus. And that's how much trust we can have in Jesus. We can be fishers of people. It doesn't mean you need to go scoop people up with nets. Nope, that's not what it means. It means that we can share God's love with anyone that we come into contact with. And we can be his disciples, just like Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Okay? So let's say a prayer together. Father God, thank you for calling people to follow you and help us to be able to drop our nets and immediately follow you, God, when you call us to do something. Help us to listen. God, we love you and we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go to the back.
on these very cold and dark winter days, it is not hard to find hopeful the words, "In the land of darkness, they have seen a great light," or from John's letter, that light shines in the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. Let us pray together as we confess our sins to our God. You are our light, our salvation, the stronghold that lifts us up. When our light dims from division and anger, shine upon us with your grace. When your light fades from confusion and doubt, encourage us with your hope. When our light recedes behind sin and regret, heal us with your mercy and truth. Oh, that we would no longer walk in darkness, that we would cease to be divided from you and from one another. In your face, we see a great light in our darkness. In your love, we are unified and made one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to the world. In your grace, we become people of light. May it be so. Amen. Hear the good news. God is our light and our salvation. In Christ, we no longer walk in darkness or division, but we are called forth to unity and love, to light and life. Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When we consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have created, what are we that you want to have fellowship, that you care for us? And yet, Lord, we know from your word that we are greatly valued by you. Lord, the immensity of creation is something that is so overwhelming as we think about our planet as a little speck in the Milky Way galaxy, and yet beyond that there are trillions of galaxies. So much has been created. And yet, Lord, you care so mightily for us that you have created this wonderful place that we live with just the right tilt of the axis of the earth, with the climate changes, with the moon that makes things work better on our planet. Lord, you provided so much, and we give you great praise and great thanks. Lord, we come into this place and we thank you for you, the Lord of wind and snow, for the beauty of this. And yet, Lord, we also pray today for the safety of all persons who may be affected by storms and by all the things that sometimes happen in nature that cause people to be homeless and lost. And Lord, we ask that this day that you would reach out to all the persons that we know in our hearts who are sick. We think of people who are in the hospital. We think of people dealing with great physical difficulties and memory loss. Lord, surround them with your peace and your comfort. And in the midst of being shut indoors, Lord, we know that there are those that are downcast, and we pray for your safety for all of those who are struggling to know what life is all about. Yet, Lord, in the midst of all of these things, we know that you are calling us to be your hands and feet, that you are calling us not just to be in a nice warm sanctuary, but to go out to follow you and to fish for people. Lord, may we find ourselves in those activities. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for our president, and we pray for Congress. We pray for all of those who work within states and within cities. Lord, bless those in authority. Give them wisdom. And we pray for peace, Lord, not only in our nation, but across the world, asking you to undertake and do mighty things to bring about reconciliation between people and nations. Lord, surround us now in the midst of this time. We thank you for our leaders of our church. We pray for Bishop David Graves. We pray for District Superintendent Shannon Boaz. And we thank you for the wonderful ministers that are appointed to us, for John and to Parker and to Joan. So, Lord, as we come now into this place, open our hearts, open our eyes that we might see. And I pray, Lord, that in the midst of this time, that as John brings to us a word from you, that we would hear him gladly, that you would give him the words to say, that you would surround him with your Holy Spirit and speak plainly to us about the possibilities of being your followers. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now worship the Lord with our tithes and with our offerings.
Peter, stand on the sea.
Almighty God, pour out your Spirit and bless these tithes and offerings for your kingdom, your glorious and beautiful kingdom of light that shines in the darkness. Lord, bless these elements as well as we prepare later to receive your grace in our life. This we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Get it? I want to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 4 with me. And I'm going to actually append a little bit what you see printed in the bullet. And I'm going to focus on the first part of this section of Scripture. So beginning at verse 12 there, follow along with me. And so when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and he returned to Galilee. And he went first to Nazareth, and then he left there and he moved to Capernaum beside the Sea of Galilee in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah. In the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, beside the sea and beside the Jordan River, in Galilee where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has shined. From then on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning, I want to invite you to use a little bit of imagination with me. As kids, we're really good at using that imagination muscle. As adults, we get a little bit more rusty with it. But I have some pictures to help us along in the story I'm going to tell. I'm going to kind of invite you to think about maybe a time very much similar to this, where you've been driving along and it's dark. And maybe you're going to a town or a city for business or for work, maybe to visit family, friends, whatever it might be. And you're going through an area in the countryside that you're not really familiar with. Now, we're very much used to driving our paths that we normally do every day, right? To work, to school, to wherever we might go. And it kind of gets to the point where we could set ourselves on autopilot almost, right? And we just go. But there are those places, though, there are those roads where we pay a little bit more attention, especially when we don't know when the next curve is coming and what to expect a little bit further on, especially when it's dark. And I don't know about you, maybe your eyes are not as good as they once were. Mine are not. So I don't like to drive too much at night anymore either. I get a little more anxious. My blood pressure goes up a little bit more, and I get a little more tunnel focused. My vision is really locked in. And it can happen like that. Now, just imagine with me, if we're driving along in some backcountry part of Kentucky and you miss a detour sign that is on the side of the road. It's rather large, I mean, or at least in this picture. It can be hard, you would think, to miss. And yet when we're so focused sometime, when we're so anxious, when we're kind of in our own mind, it can be easy to miss those detour signs along the way. It's a very human thing to do. And to be honest with you, humanity, we've been doing it a long time. We have missed God's detour signs for generation after generation, age after age. It has been something that we just have consistently done. Now, the interesting thing is that when we're kind of going down the road in the darkness, God always is trying to take care of us, and he sends detour signs to us along the way of life, not only in our own life, but just the broad history of the Bible as well. And I just want to lift up a few detour signs for you to think about this morning that God placed because he loved his people so much. Detour signs like Moses. Oh my goodness. Here is a people, God's people, and they are in a land literally of slavery and of death and of darkness. They're forced to be a part of something that they don't want to be a part of. They're forced to be a part of a nation and a mindset and a Pharaoh and participated in ways that dirties their soul because of their forced participation in the labor. And they cry out to God, and God says, I have heard your cry, and I'm going to bring you out. And he sends Moses in, and they are pulled out as this detour away from the land of sin and death. But there's so many more. There's Elijah, Mount Carmel, and he had that great big showdown on Mount Carmel. Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Jonah. Jonah, he was a little bit more reluctant, but he went into a land where he did not want to go to preach about a detour. Malachi, John the Baptist, and even Jesus. Now, these detour signs throughout the great, great story of God and the story of us often say, stop. Think about what you're doing, turn around, and come to me. Whenever God sends a prophet, he usually, the words that are on a prophet's lips are, I'm a little concerned about you. Turn and come back to God. Turn to the Lord. Yeah, you've left Egypt, but why do you want to go back? The onions, the meat, all of that, it's not worth the slavery and the death that is involved. But unfortunately, you all know the story, don't you? We as people, and God's people, throughout our history, we just kept going down that dark road. Well, here we are back in our car, and we're driving along in Kentucky here. And do you know when you're doing something in life and you realize that there's an element of danger to it and there's this like voice that's in the back of your head that's screaming at you, stop, John, what are you doing? I mean, you're going way too fast. You're not seeing things. And then, of course, all of these clues start to show up on the road. You see these great fissures and cracks in the blacktop. And it's like, well, that doesn't look so good. Back in Eastern Kentucky, where Julie and I, we ministered for a while, I mean, there were like roads that would just kind of just sink in because of sinkholes and things like that. And you would really kind of get a little nervous driving over them. In fact, there's this one road in Paintsville, Kentucky, that's on the side of this hill. And it was one of the ways you could get into Paintsville, a limited amount of ways, actually, because you had to cross a river. And that road, just one day, it just fell off the side of the hill. It just was gone, washed away. And here we are, we're driving along, and we have potholes and cracks all over the place. And then we start to see those great big orange barrels, you know what I'm talking about, and orange cones. And then we start seeing heavy equipment and all of this kind of stuff. And they're like, well, what's going on here? You tap on your phone because you're wanting to find a different way out of here. We rely on that GPS, don't we? It's great stuff, but your phone is dead. Of course, your phone battery goes out right at the worst time, right? Our son's does, for sure. I'm aware of that. For Christmas, I got one of those things, like the battery things that you can hook up to the back of your phone to charge it again. We told him, no more 10% on you. We can watch his phone and how things are going on. I know that sounds weird, but creeping on him a little bit. But eventually, you stop your car. You take everything in. But that just causes the anxiety to go up even more because it's dark. You want to get to your destination, and so you just step on the gas even more. And then your tire hits one of those potholes. Your tire blows. You come to a screeching halt. Thank goodness, because the road is washed out. Just a few more feet, and you would have been in a mess. Now the problem is, nobody ever taught you how to change your tire. And you're like, you ever been in traffic or been in your car, and it's just like, I just give up. And you just have your hands on the steering wheel, and you just lay your head on the steering wheel, and it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? There are those moments, are there not, in our life. But something interesting happens. Up at the top of the hill, you see this little flashlight light bobbing up and down. And over the next few minutes, you can see that flashlight's coming toward you. And it's getting a little bit brighter and a little bit brighter and a little bit closer. And all of a sudden, you realize that flashlight has a man attached to it. And eventually the man comes to you, and you're still a little scared, and you only roll your window down about an inch or so, and you talk to the man, and he says, hey, I know it looks like you're not from around here. You missed the detour back there, but it looks like you have a flat tire. Now, around here, we take care of people, and I saw that your headlights bouncing around, and I was concerned about you. And I thought I would come down here and check. And you say, well, my tire blew and I don't know how to fix it. And he said, don't worry about it. Pop the trunk. I'll take care of it for you. So the man, he pulls out your spare, jacks up the front tire there, does all of the stuff. You're sitting there and you're listening to all of this go on. And you put your stuff, he puts the stuff back in the trunk. Shuts it down, comes back around. He said, all right, you're all set, you're all fixed, but here's what you need to do. You need to turn around 180 degrees, go back up the way that you came from. At the top of the hill, you're going to see a detour sign, and when you see that detour sign, I want you to hang a left. Follow the detour, because that's really, really important. It's really important. Verse 16 says something really powerful to us as Christians driving along on the road of life. It talks about how people were sitting in darkness, and they saw a great light. They were sitting in the darkness in the valley of the shadow of death. We know that from Psalm 23, don't we? But it talks about how Jesus was the light that shined in the darkness on that road of life that we travel. You know, sin and death, there's all kinds of different ways to talk about it and to think about it. Sometimes I think about it as fabric or as cloth. And, you know, cloth, often when it's woven, you have the yarns that go this way, and it's the weft, and then you have the weave that goes up and down like that. And they go back and forth and back and forth, and they lock in together, and they make a strong fabric. But the thing about sin and death is that it's not only in us as human beings and works within us, but it's also outside of us as well. It's in the world. It's in the cosmos. It's just slowly deteriorating everything. And I think about that and that how we often are like that fabric in our lives. And we have stuff within us that God is working on continuously. But there's stuff out in the world around us, the weave that surrounds us, the weft. And it has an effect upon us as a community as well. And if you've ever had a chance to go up into your grandparents' attic when you were a kid and kind of nose around a little bit, maybe you opened a box or a crate or something like that and you found some fabric that was really, really old and you started to play with it a little bit, you know, play dress up or whatever, and you noticed that the fabric sometimes would just disintegrate in your hands. And that's what happens. With sin and death, it just disintegrates. Us and the world that we live in, and we're woven into this body of people in the world, and sometimes it just feels like we're coming apart at the seams. But here's the thing. Jesus began to preach. I love what Parker talked about earlier in the service, you know, from the Gospel of John. He is the light of the world, and the darkness will not, it shall not, ever, never has been, not now, and not in the future, ever overcome the light of Christ. Jesus began to preach and shine that light in our lives. He's like that man that came down the hill with his flashlight and changed the way that we were going that night. So here we are. We're driving along up at the top of the hill. We see that detour sign, and that's Jesus saying as he was preaching, repent. Repent. Now, I think when I was growing up in youth group and stuff like that, we always kind of learned about repenting. Like, we had to be Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, you know. It was like, okay, I'm a bad person and I'm not so great. And we think about that. We hear that word and there's this visceral kind of a thing. And like, we immediately need to shame ourselves. Now, I think that there is a healthy amount of God engaging us in our heart and showing us our sin and saying, all right, John, this is what you got to work on. But to repent is not to be an Eeyore. Instead, repent means to turn around, to go the other way. It's a 180-degree turn. Not wallow in your guilt like Eeyore does. It's changing behaviors, changing your thinking, it's changing our mind and going the opposite direction, back up the hill from where we came from, and then take the detour, turn left. Brothers and sisters, Jesus meets us today right here at his wonderful table, with his light to shine into our lives and then the world around us. He invites us as we come to his table to examine our life, where we're still in darkness, where we need to turn, to examine where the cloth of our life is disintegrating or the cloth of our community is disintegrating. And he always points the way back to safety. And he reweaves our life with him and with one another. And so we come to the Lord's table to receive that power from above for the reweaving of our own life, that he might shine in us. And that we might turn to a different and new way. I want to invite you to turn to page 12 in the red hymnal that is in front of you in the pews. And as I prepare the table, I just, as I always do, it's important to me to share that this is the Lord's table. It's not our table here at Southern Hills. And because it's the Lord's table, what that means is that this sacrament is for each and every one of you who are here. You don't have to be a member here. You don't have to attend here regularly. This is for you. Jesus is the host here, certainly not me. And he's at this table, and he's inviting you. I also want to share with you that we do have gluten-free elements if you require those. And also, as part of the mercy and the ministry of our own church, we do receive a special communion rail offering every month for the United Methodist campus ministry, the Wesley Foundation. And if you'd like to give to that, I want to invite you to give at the altar rail for that. And so on page 13, I invite you to join me in prayer. Brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you. And lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks and praise to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people here on earth and all of the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery and sin and death. And you made a new covenant with us by water and the Spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, after the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts, through Jesus Christ our Lord, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. So pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet table. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit working in your holy church, all honor and glory and power is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As those who are going to assist us serve you today come forward to receive the elements, I just want to share with you, this is the body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. pray. Jesus, we thank you for your grace that is working within us now. We thank you for the opportunity to sit at the table with you, Jesus, light of light, God of God, true God, as you pour your light into us, as you reweave us in your image. We pray to you and give you our thanks. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to stand for our closing hymn, Jesus Calls Us. Let's stand and sing together. Brothers and sisters, receive God's blessing upon you and your life. That the Lord be with you. That the Lord will make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. That the Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.